Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 615. And I have here the homie himself, Mr. Paris.
What's up, man?
What's going on, man? What's up?
I'll say this, and I only watched the first part of it. Go watch Dave Chappelle's opening monologue on Saturday Night Live. I haven't watched the rest. I haven't seen the tribe stuff. I only watched really that good. Opening monologue. Yeah. Everybody, go. The jokes are in there. It's hilarious. But listen to what he's saying. Just listen to what he's saying. And obviously, the way he ends it with his message to Trump is perfection. Just watch it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Very good. Well, you know, I want to say this very quick. Paris, I haven't done this in a very long time. You know, I was part of a protest on Friday, and I haven't done that since like the 90s, man. I felt good, man. I felt really, really good about it. Just want to say that very quick.
Yeah, man. And we talked about that offline, too. And like I said to you offline, it's a time for all of us. Get your voice heard. Whether like you said, you were in a peaceful protest. We don't need violence. We don't need crazy stuff. And I'm not trying to make this a political show. But
oh, hell no.
Make your voice heard. In any way that you can, make your voice heard, because now is the time for all of us to galvanize and unify as a country. And I'll shut up about the politics, but I just wanted to say that too.
Yeah, that's the beauty about America, man.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So that's good, man. Paris, so we have a lot of things to talk about, man. And I know you guys are going to be really, really busy this week, you and Pete.
Well,
hopefully we could talk about this in the future, right?
Well, can I say this up front? Because obviously I can't talk about what we're doing, but Pete and I will be elsewhere next week. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So when we're allowed to talk about it, you know, we'll be on the show and let you guys know. But expect a special podcast from Pete and I with, fingers crossed, a mystery guest, and I'm sure longtime fans of the show will love. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that one hopefully sometime next week. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Stay tuned. It's going to be pretty cool once it comes out. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag and listen to our past episodes. Make sure to share with your friends, and also you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so I know later on we're going to have fan mail, but I'm going to play this audio. I think this is perfect to start the show.
Hey, Gamertag Radio guys. This is Kyle from Bellevue, Ohio. Sure, you're going to get a lot of these calls, but it's 11-11. Nintendo Classic comes up today, and nobody can get a hold of any of them. Am I the only one that thinks it's ridiculous that a console that was, well, not even a console, but a product that was advertised and announced so long ago is in such short demand or supply, where stores only get one or three? Toys R Us just went there, three, that's it. Just a little frustrated. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Thanks. Bye.
All right, thanks for the question and everything, man. Paris, dude, the NES Classic came out a couple of days ago. First, I want to mention this, man, because I went to Walmart. I got there like maybe around 11:30 p.m. It opens 24 hours and stuff. So when I got there, it was like around maybe 15, 17 people. So I was in line. And I think like around 11:50, right before NES Classic came out, one of the employees was like, hey, we only have 10 boxes we don't have enough for everybody. I was like, oh my God, man. Right. So then more people were coming, lining up. So by the time the concert got released, there was like maybe 30 plus people there. Right. So it started selling it. And I'm like, all right, I'm not leaving. Maybe somebody there, like their credit card gets declined or something. I might get lucky, you know? So I stayed there. Right. Dude, that was about to sell the last one. And I was like, yo, I'm out. I think I'm going to leave. And from far away, I see one of the employees running. Hey, I found another box. It has 10 more. I was like, yes. And everybody started clapping and screaming like, yeah, the whole crowd. And then, so I got one. A lot of people were left really, really pissed off. And then the next day, Best Buy, Walmart, Target, and other stores, they also sold out. It was really hard to find this console. My cousin went to Best Buy and she said that they only had like 51 copies and she was the 20th person. It sold out within minutes. You know, here's the thing. I was really mad because Nintendo, they should have been prepared, man. I know they're doing this on purpose so it could look like, oh man, everybody's going crazy. This is like the big item for the holidays and all that stuff. It just they've done this because of for press, basically, you know. So what are your thoughts about this? Because I just hope it's not like that when the Nintendo Switch comes out early next year in March. Cause that would be like really tacky from Nintendo, man, if they do that.
Well, here's my thought, and people are losing their minds over this thing because you can go on eBay, it's selling for like $500-$600. I know locally.
What?
Yeah, I know.
$10,000.
No, I'm just saying for reference. And I know even locally, some people have been selling it like on, you know, like Facebook. They have like their little local exchanges and stuff where people can sell things. My wife has seen it on there for like $200-$300, et cetera. And like you said, I know some maniacs are selling it for thousands of dollars too. But here's the thing. Wait, it ain't Christmas yet. Wait, they're going to restock this thing. I'm not even sweating trying to get it right now. I'll just wait a few weeks. You know, just pay attention to Amazon, pay attention to Best Buy, whatever, when they're going to restock. Find out that schedule. Make sure you're there right when the store opens. You'll get one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? These people that are spending all this crazy amount of money, they're being impatient. For games that we played 30 years ago, I'm not rushing out to get this thing that quick. Do I want one? Of course I do, but it's not mandatory I get it today. I just want to make sure that we have it by Christmas because, like, you know, like I said, we want to give it to the kids and things like that. But as far as your question about the Switch goes, if you go back to the Wii, that there was that time where it was kind of hard to get, right? So I think it's going to be a similar thing where initially, everything's going to sell out right at launch, and then you're going to probably have to wait a few weeks, man. And again, you have to keep your ear to the ground on when these stores are going to get their restocks in and not pay scalpers all this extra money to get that thing day one. I think the biggest thing people need to realize is if you can't get it on launch day, just show some patience and wait a couple weeks, and you're going to get it at retail price. Don't spend hundreds of extra dollars for any of these products because ultimately you're going to regret it. That's the problem. You're going to regret it. May not be a week after you get it, but I promise you a couple of months after you get the thing, if you spent $500 on this NEX Classic, you've lost your mind. And if you're mad at me, you can tweet at me and tell me I'm crazy too. But there's no way I would do that. No way.
I mean, I bought it because I'm excited for the product. It's not like, you know, I'm going to go out there and sell it for thousands of dollars. You know what I'm saying? And I'm, you know, Paris, I've always been like that. When a game comes out or a major product like this comes out, I'm the first one there in line because I want to buy it. I'm excited for it, you know? But I just feel that Nintendo should have been prepared. You know, they were not allowed to take any pre-orders. I mean, come on. This is 2016.
I know.
But it creates
the buzz. That's all they're looking to do. It creates a buzz and a frenzy over the product. And then watch magically, once we get to Black Friday and into December, they're going to be everywhere. You're going to be able to easily get one. And it's going to be the hot item for Christmas because people are going to think it's in short supply. It's actually a very smart move from a business standpoint, to be honest with you.
I honestly, I find it very tacky, man. I mean, 2016, at least ship more. No, don't send like three copies in one store. Maybe 10 over here, 20 over there. Come on, dude. I'm just not a fan of that.
That's what I mean. It's a soft launch. It's they're doing this to create a frenzy over it. So by the time you get, like I said, you get to Black Friday and you get to the Christmas shopping season, people are going to be like, oh my God, I got to go get this NES Classic. Seems like they can't keep it in stock. And then they're going to go to Best Buy one day and there's going to be just freaking rows of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, hey, it's business, man. Do I agree with it? I'm like you. I think it's tacky, but it's business, man. That's just how it is.
All right, so the next episode, I'm going to be reviewing the NES Classic, so stay tuned for that. But I'm going to play this short audio. It's like around 5 minutes or so. This is if you call the old Nintendo hotline back in the 90s and in the 80s too. There was a hotline that you called and they give you like tips about the game. You could actually ask questions to the people that will pick up the phone and everything. And I used to do that back then. I don't know if you used to do that, Paris. But I used to grab my Nintendo Power or check out like the paper that comes inside the games. Once you buy one, it tells you like to call this hotline to get tips of the game, like for Metroid, Zelda, and so on. So I should call it all the time. So now, because of the launch of the NES, they basically open the hotline again. But this time, they give you tips. They give you a little bit of history about certain games and stuff. So I'm going to play this audio right now. And once we come back, Paris has a review this week. And it's the PlayStation 4 Pro. So we'll be right back.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio.
Thank you for calling Nintendo's Power Line, which is back for one weekend only to celebrate the release of the Nintendo Entertainment System NES Classic Edition system, now available in stores at a suggested retail price of only $59.99. From your first Goomba stomp to defeating Ganon and getting the Triforce, the original Nintendo Entertainment System played host to many of gaming's most memorable moments. And now, a new miniaturized version is here, preloaded with 30 of the all-time greatest NES games, including The Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Bros. 3, and Metroid. Just plug it in and play. If your NES skills are a little rusty, don't worry. Some of the original gameplay counselors are here to share a few top tips and maybe even a story or two of their days on the original Gameplay Counselor Hotline. To hear a gameplay tip for The Legend of Zelda, press 1. To hear a gameplay tip for Super Mario Bros. And Super Mario Bros. 3, press 2. To hear a gameplay tip for Metroid, press 3.
Hi, I'm Pat Wells. During my days as a gameplay counselor, I sometimes helped players beat a game from beginning to end. Most often it was The Legend of Zelda, which was a tricky game to get to back before you could look up answers on the internet. A player would call after getting stuck in a dungeon, then call back an hour later asking for help on the next dungeon, and then the next. By the end of the day, they might have called me a dozen times. But it was always rewarding when you help someone navigate a difficult dungeon, find a missing item, or beat that tough boss. We were gameplay counselors, and our job was to turn players' frustrations into victory. Sometimes the callers were so young, they didn't even know their left from their right. You tell them to go two screens to the right, and they say, is that towards my kitchen or is that towards my living room? But that would always make me smile. Speaking of The Legend of Zelda, did you know beating the game unlocks a second quest with new dungeons and new hiding places for everything? If you'd like to start the second quest right away without beating the main quest first, just start a new game and register your name as Zelda. The second quest is a lot tougher, so good luck.
Now you're playing with power. To hear a gameplay tip for Super Mario Bros. And Super Mario Bros. 3, press 1. To hear a gameplay tip for Metroid, press 2.
Hi, I'm Melvin Forrest. I got my job as a gameplay counselor in 1990 after participating in Nintendo's Power Fest. I lost the tournament, but still got the job. Since I would answer hundreds of calls a day, I tried to make them as fun as possible for both the players and myself. I especially enjoyed it when someone would be so excited to speak to me that they'd forget the game that they were playing and where they were stuck. Since I could usually hear their game in the background, I'd tell them what it was, and they would freak out that I knew. I could also guess where they were stuck most of the time because I'd just taken lots of calls from other people with the same problem. So while it may have sometimes seemed like we gameplay counselors could read minds, we couldn't, or could we? Let me give this a shot. You're looking for Super Mario Bros. And Super Mario Bros. 3 tips, aren't you? Here are a couple of good ones. In Super Mario Brothers, after you've lost all your lives and return to the title screen, hold A and press start. You'll continue at the beginning of the world you ended on. For Super Mario Brothers 3, look for white blocks. If you stand on one and press down for about 5 seconds, Mario will fall through it and go behind the scenery for a short time. If you do this on World 1-3, you'll find a warp whistle that will let you skip to Worlds 2, 3, or 4.
The Nintendo Entertainment System NES Classic Edition lets you enjoy the good old days of gaming like never before with pixel-perfect and retro display modes and suspend points that let you save anywhere in the game. The system comes bundled with an HDMI cable, an AC adapter, one NES Classic controller, and all 30 games installed and ready to play. Additional controllers are sold separately. Revisit favorite gaming memories and make new ones. The wonderful world of 8-bit awaits. And now for your final gameplay tip.
Hi, I'm Mark Doyle. I started as a gameplay counselor in 1990, the same year that one of my favorite NES games came out, Star Tropics. Well, it used to be one of my favorites. You see, back in the day, people rented a lot of games, and if you rented Star Tropics, chances were you didn't get the physical letter that came packaged with it. The letter not only set up the plot, but at a certain point in the game, you were told to dip the letter in water to reveal a secret code that's needed to continue. It worked like magic, but if you didn't have the letter, you were stuck. I took so many calls about this that after a while, when someone said, "I'm playing Star Tropics," I'd sometimes say 747 before they could even finish. They would laugh and say, "No way, how did you know that?" Now, there's no letter included with the Nintendo Entertainment System NES Classic Edition system, but I have it on good authority that the 747 code can be found in the Quick Start Guide. Now, I owe you a tip for Metroid. To play as Samus without her armor, go to the password screen and enter Justin Bailey. That's J-U-S-T-I-N-B-A-I-L-E-Y. All caps, followed by 12 spaces. This will also put you far into the game with lots of power-ups. Have fun!
Thank you for calling Nintendo's Power Line. Don't forget to check out the Nintendo Entertainment System NES Classic Edition, available now at a suggested retail price of $59.99. For more information, visit Nintendo.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Paris, so the PlayStation 4 Pro... You got it, when was it, Thursday, the 10th
yes.
of November?
Yes.
So, how is it?
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's my opinion on the PlayStation 4 Pro, and I actually tweeted out, because a lot of people have been hitting me up asking me what I think, and I've said a little bit here, a little bit there about 4K and 1080p. Here's the thing. I got it on the 10th, like I said, got it home, set it up, recognize my television. I have a Vizio P series. Recognize that it was in 4K, HDR, the whole thing. No issues at all. Put my account on there. I set up with my old PlayStation 4. I did the data transfer. Seamless. Literally, my old PlayStation 4 settings, everything is on the Pro. I was up playing games just like I was on the PlayStation 4. No issues. I've, like I said, not a hiccup with that process. So it sounds like, you know, not that I was one of the lucky few, but that there were issues with other people similarly, especially with 4K television. I know we even have a couple voicemails on that as well and some emails talking about that. But it seems like some people, depending on the television, the PlayStation 4 Pro wasn't recognizing. There was an issue with the HDCP, the encryption, basically the handshake on that. And the fix was to go in and basically your screen was blank. You weren't seeing anything. So the fix was to force the Pro to go into a safe mode. And then you would disable HDCP 2.2 and then you were able to get in and it was fine. I did not experience that, but it seems a lot of people out there were experiencing that. But overall, my thoughts on the PlayStation 4 Pro is this. It's what the PlayStation 4 should have been at launch, to be honest with you. This is not This is not a true 4K gaming machine. Let's be upfront about that. I mean, Titanfall 2 looks fantastic on it. Watch Dogs 2, which I'll talk about a little bit more here in a minute, looks fantastic on it. The Last of Us looks pretty good in HDR. You can definitely tell it's starting to age a little bit, but the HDR, just the differences kind of, you know, they definitely shine in that aspect. Mm-hmm. But I mean, overall, this is still a PlayStation 4. You know, if you have your current PlayStation 4, and like I've been telling people on Twitter, if you're at 1080p, if you have a 1080p television and you already have a PlayStation 4, I cannot recommend anyone to upgrade right now. And I know, again, we've talked about some of the super sampling, everything rendering down from 4K to 1080p looks really good on this. But, you know, I'll take people over to Digital Foundry. They've done some excellent videos just doing comparisons with some of the various games and how they work between PS4 and PS4 Pro. Another thing that we're seeing right now is some games are performing better on the PlayStation 4 than they are on the Pro. And I'll say this, here's the thing. Devs have not had enough time yet. They simply have not. From the time that they got the Pro dev kits to launch, I don't think they've had enough time, because we've seen games that, like, for example, Watch Dogs, there's zero option for me to kind of go into, if I had a 1080p television, to go into a 1080p mode versus 4K. There's no option. It just automatically does it. Titanfall 2, the same thing. Whereas you look at Rise of the Tomb Raider, you have various options where if you want to play it in 1080p or at a higher frame rate, you know, better settings, etc., you can do that versus going to the 4K setting just so you can play at that resolution. We're not seeing that in a lot of the games yet. I think we're not going to start seeing those because devs need more time. Probably the first game to pinpoint on the Pro that you're going to really see this gambit of various features, because again, this is more like on the PC where you can change different settings. You're going to start seeing that on the Pro probably in February with Horizon. That'd probably be your first game. We know Mass Effect is another one they showcase that'll most likely be coming in March. I haven't said the official date yet. So I think as at launch, there's still some bugs to work out on the Pro. Devs need more times with some of these newer games. But overall, it's a solid device. Like I'm looking at the Pro right now. It's been whisper quiet for me. Like I said, all my old PlayStation 4 settings, controllers, everything work on it just fine. If you're just coming into the market for a console and you want to pick up one, I would say whether you're on 4K or 1080p, just go get the Pro. It's $100 more, and eventually you're going to wind up getting a 4K TV. If you already got a 4K TV, to me, it's a no-brainer. Get the Pro. But if you're still on 1080p and you're looking for a new console, I would recommend the Pro over the PS4 because the price difference, yeah, it's about $100, but in the long run, you might as well just go ahead and make that investment now. But overall, if you're expecting something, the PlayStation 4 Pro, to just change your gaming life and, oh my God, it's this beast horsepower, all the 4K and all that. No, that's not what it is. It enhances your experience, yes. But you got to realize a lot of these AAA games that will, quote unquote, be playing in 4K, it's not like you're playing 4K 60 frames per second ultra settings. This is basically taking your current PlayStation 4 experience and upping the resolution to 4K. You have to look at it that way. If you're expecting anything more than that, you're going to wind up being disappointed. Now, could that change when we get into 2017 and we start seeing Horizon, Mass Effect, God of War, you know, what is that, Days Gone, those type of games, these new PlayStation 4 games that will have more time to the developers to take advantage of the Pro? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But right now, in November 2016, I cannot recommend the Pro to someone expecting it to be a high-end gaming PC at ultra settings at 4K, because that is not what this machine is. So
now, I have a question on that. Do you blame Sony for kind of marketing that way?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, do you see them, like, is that their fault or?
But I don't think, look, and I've been accused of being a PlayStation fanboy recently, but I don't think Mark Cerny has promoted the Pro as being that. They've been pretty clear from day one that the Pro is not PlayStation 5. The Pro is still a PlayStation 4, but again, we're upping it to a 4K experience and we're enabling HDR. And to be honest with you, you don't even need a Pro for HDR. You can do that on the PlayStation 4 base if you wanted to, right? So, mm-hmm. you got to look at that. This is more of just, we're putting a little more horsepower under the hood and we're adding some extra features to it. And you will be able to play games at 2160p if you so choose. That's what they're doing. Like, for example, Witcher, you're not getting like I have on my PC. You're not getting the Witcher 3 in 4K, 60 frames per second at ultra settings. The Pro cannot do that. It does not have enough horsepower under the hood. And I'll wait till we got a voicemail talking about Scorpio. So I'll talk about Scorpio in that scenario a little bit later. But this is just an enhancement of the current PlayStation 4. And again, if you have a 4K TV that does HDR, I would recommend getting it for that because it can take advantage of what your television can do. If you have a 1080p TV, you don't need the Pro today unless you know you're going to upgrade to a 4K television, then maybe it's worth that investment. But so far, look, do the games look great? Yes. Titanfall looks great in 4K. But I know that's not Titanfall 2 at ultra settings, as if I would experience I would have on a PC. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Watch Dogs 2 looks great, but it's not Watch Dogs 2 4K 60 frames per second at ultra settings. It's Watch Dogs 2 up-res to 4K at, you know, the same medium settings that you would see on the PlayStation 4. Looks good, yes, but it's not doing something revolutionary. And that's what people need to understand before they invest the money into it.
Does it load fast compared to the older console?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like the menus, like it's funny, like on my old PlayStation 4, because it is a launch PlayStation 4, the menus were starting to chug a little bit, getting back and forth and stuff. This, super quick, just boom, 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 right to everything. So again, that's where you're seeing the horsepower take advantage. Netflix, for example, you can play 4K. All the 4K content works on the Pro. You know what I mean? If you're using Netflix, there's like a little update when I launched it. But I haven't even tried YouTube yet. I don't know if the YouTube app on the Pro does 4K or not. But I mean, like I said, overall, do I feel disappointed? No. I mean, I think I tempered my expectations enough that I knew what I was getting into. Does it look nice in 4K? Of course it does. I mean, does the HDR look nice? Yes. And for me, since I don't have an Xbox One S, this is really my first experience seeing HDR in action. You know what I mean? As far as gaming goes. And like I said, The Last of Us in HDR looks great. Really does. You know, I would tell people right now, even though you can enable that 60 frames per second mode in 4K for The Last of Us, just looks kind of weird. And I even thought that on the old PlayStation 4. I'm actually more comfortable playing The Last of Us at 30 frames per second. I feel like it's a more cinematic experience. And it really feels more like a cinematic experience on the Pro with HDR enabled.
And what my last question about all this, how's the controller? Is it better battery life?
Well, I use my SCUF controller, so I don't even really. So
I know you do.
I've used it just to play with it to see if there was any difference, but I haven't used it enough to see if the battery was any different or not. But I mean, it's still the same DualShock 4. And matter of fact, it's the same DualShock 4 that you would get with the PlayStation 4 Slim. So, I mean, again, there's no difference. And like I said, my old controllers, the Pro recognizes them. They all work seamless. There's nothing. The Pro isn't leaving anything behind from the old PlayStation 4. It's the same menus, same settings. Everything's the same. The only difference is it can enable HDR and it can go at 2160p. And there's games that can obviously, whether they're native 4K or they go from 1440p or 1800p and do the checkerboard up to 4K, your games will display in 4K on the Pro.
All right. All right. So for more questions and all that, please hit up Paris on Twitter and hopefully we'll answer your question, or hit us up fanmail@gamertagradio.com. All right, Paris, so let's talk about our sponsor for this week, HelloFresh.
Yes, I want to thank HelloFresh for being our sponsor this week. And like we talked about last week, HelloFresh, they're a company that they deliver healthy food directly to your door. What else can I say about this thing? Let's go into some of the options of HelloFresh. Like I said, we talked about this last week. HelloFresh offers their customers what is considered a classic box or veggie box. And they're going to be soon launching a family box. And basically, like classic box, you're getting three different kinds of meat. You're going to get chicken, you're going to get pork, and you're going to get beef. And the way HelloFresh is what's so cool about it is they're making it simple. They provide you easy-to-follow recipes. These are meals that you can make in 30 minutes or less, and they're healthy. They're good for you. It takes all the thinking out of preparing a meal for your family every night. Now, just going to some little key points of HelloFresh. Like I said, HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices like me. Actually, I'm not a novice. I know how to cook. It's a seasoned home cook short on time. HelloFresh sources all the freshest ingredients and measured to the exact quantities. So again, there's no waste and takes all the thinking out of it. And here's the crazy thing to me.
What's up?
They deliver this cold via UPS Ground. I said this last week and I'm still tripping.
You were very surprised.
Dude, I'm like, how is this coming UPS Ground? This ain't overnight. This is all the meat's going to be spoiled. But dude, they do some crazy insulation and the way they pack it and everything. It comes via UPS Ground and everything was still cold and fresh as you expect it to be. Again, my personal experience with HelloFresh, it was a very positive one. Like I said, we got that classic box. We had the three different type of meals. We cooked them all up because we all wanted to sample one. You know, my kids ate all the beef one. I didn't get to try that one. Delicious food, easy recipe to follow. It was fantastic. So,
yeah.
Again.
They sent me salmon this week,
too.
Oh,
so. Nice.
Yeah.
I was curious with fish, if they would do fish. So they do fish. Yeah. That's good.
And it was very cold. So there you go.
Yeah. Dude, I'm tripping. I'm still tripping, and I scratched my head on that. But trust me, personal experience, I know it might seem sketchy. Like, how are they sending this thing over UPS Ground? But it does work. I cannot stop talking about that enough. But here's the thing. If you go to HelloFresh.com right now, you can get $35 off your first week of deliveries if you use our code GAMERTAG. And again, that is a fantastic value. You can set up HelloFresh. Again, if you don't like to cook, this makes it simple. This makes it easy for you. And it's healthy. You guys know I like to work out and do all the crazy stuff and try and stay as healthy as possible. HelloFresh is something that I would definitely invest in if I wanted to guarantee that I had a healthy meal every day of the week. So again, use our promo code GAMERTAG and get $35 off your first week of deliveries at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, highly recommended. All right, Paris, so we have one more review, and this time is Watch Dogs 2. This is from Ubisoft, and I know you've been to a couple of their events this year, and you just been playing this, what, for like over a week?
No, I've actually only been playing it since Thursday when I got the PlayStation 4 Pro. I got the actual review code the day before and I knew I was getting the Pro the next day. I'm like, I might as well wait till I get the Pro. So yeah, I've been playing it since Thursday and I can tell you guys right now, this is a review in progress because there were, as of this recording, there were some issues with multiplayer that Ubisoft asked us to respectfully not judge the game until this patch comes out, and the patch should be out at launch by the time that you guys are able to pick up the game. So just be warned, I'm not going to give any impressions on the multiplayer stuff. If that is a concern for you, I suggest wait until you hear some impressions about multiplayer first, either from us or some other outlet before making that decision. I'm simply going to talk about the single player aspect of the game.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
Yeah. And again, I think, to be honest, if multiplayer is important to you, I wouldn't judge any game pre-launch multiplayer because it's not real world. Real world is when the game is out in the wild and other people other than just journalists are able to actually use the multiplayer. And again, if that's a concern of yours, I would wait because on any game, doesn't matter if it's Watch Dogs or whatever, I would wait until it's out in the community and you can judge multiplayer that way. But with that said, so going to Watch Dogs 2, again, like Danny said, you guys know I've actually been playing this game a lot over the last month or so, just going to a couple different events. And the last preview event, I got some serious hands-on time with the early part of the game. And again, I'm not finished with Watch Dogs 2. This, like I said, review in progress. I have not, quote-unquote, completed the main story. But I'm actually going to start off on a negative, so to speak, because I've not really talked about this much in the preview stuff. I'm not a fan of the story. I don't like it. I don't like it because I feel like, first of all, my son, Trey, he can't play this at all because, again, comparing it to something like Grand Theft Auto, you know, there's definitely explicit language or explicit sexual situations. I don't want my kids exposed to that. So hands off for him. He is not allowed to play this. I get where the story is going, and I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything. I get where it's going, but I'm not feeling connected to the main character, which is unfortunate, especially with him being an African-American character. And it's nice to see African-American character be the star of a big AAA video game, but I'm not connecting with them. I feel something's off about kind of the voice acting, and just, I think they're trying too hard to be very hip and edgy with the whole hacking thing. And maybe it's just from my background being in security, it comes off a little, kind of a little false to me. You know what I mean? So I'm not invested in the story. But with that said, the missions that I've been able to go on have been a lot of fun. And they get complex the further that you get into the game, especially as you level up your skill tree and you get more hacking abilities and you can start using them in unique ways to solve problems. Because that's what I mean. Every mission you go to is basically a giant puzzle. It's, I'm at point A, I need to get to point D. There's point B and C in my way. How do I figure out how to get around those to get to my ultimate goal, right? And actually get out of the situation, be it undetected or if I have to do gunfire, etc. Throw in the fact that you have the entire open world of San Francisco at your feet. In the entire, just the entire city, going all the way over to Silicon Valley. You can go to Oakland, cross the bridges, the whole thing. It is unlocked for you. You can do whatever you want. You have vehicles. You have various weapons that you can pick up. Like I said, your hacking abilities as you level up in the game. You can do different scenarios. Like I said, you can goof off. That, and that's probably the best part of Watch Dogs 2. You can go do some missions, further the story along if you want. You can decide, I don't want to do that. And then you can just goof off in the city. You can just start messing with people. You can call
and side quest,
right? But not even like official side quests. I mean, you can just mess with the NPCs in the world, especially as you level up your hacking stuff. You can take control of their cards. You can take control of streetlights. You can hack into people's phones. You know, as morbid as it sounds, you can call in drive-bys from rival gangs on various people, setting them up. You know, you can call in the police on people. I mean, you can basically, this is the ultimate sandbox to just play in. You can play in it, do whatever you want. Like I said, every vehicle is open to you. You know, you can obviously upgrade your wardrobe, change your look at any point, various weapons you can get. There's so many fun things to do in Watch Dogs 2. And that's why I feel the story is a negative. But let's be real. You'll blow through the story content and then it's just a sandbox, the same as it would be in a Grand Theft Auto game. And I think Ubisoft has done a fantastic job with giving us this tool set to be able to run around in this world and like I said, virtually do anything that you want. Not to mention the co-op stuff that'll come into it, the bounties that'll come into it, etc. with the multiplayer, which I will say this one thing about it. The limited experience that I have had with it over this weekend has been fun, but I will talk about that on an episode in the future, again, when this patch comes out and I've had more time with it. But overall, Watch Dogs 2, I did not play the first one, so I cannot judge this against the original, but I will compare it to games like Saints Row and Grand Theft Auto. When I put it in that class, this to me is on par with something like Grand Theft Auto 5. It really is, in that you have this ultimate sandbox to play in and do whatever you want. Make your own adventures in this game. One, like I said, once you get past the story, do whatever you want to do. Explore San Francisco. Mess with the NPCs. You know what I mean? Just do all the fun stuff. Look, have the cops chasing you all around the city and do all this kind of stuff. And this is a minor spoiler, but I'm not really giving anything away. If you're a fan of Knight Rider, there is something very fun in this game for you, and I will leave it at that.
Ooh, okay. You see, based on the way how you've been reviewing this game, it reminds me of kind of like Saints Row. The story is kind of meh,
yeah,
but the game is so much fun.
And that's what it is.
It reminds me of that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Story, it's going to be forgettable, ultimately. But
like it's not something that is going to make you stop and just like, I don't want to play this anymore. Like, this will make you, man, but what is it? How is it if I go to like a different location, maybe it's going to be more more difficult.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Some of these missions, whew. I mean,
yeah, I love that. I love that.
You have to really put your thinking cap on to basically traverse through the thing and use that hacking tool set that you have to get various doors open, or to use like your little rover car or your helicopter to get through a window to unlock this, or you got some guards, you want to go undetected, and there's this guard that just will not leave his post. Well, guess what? I'm a hack into his phone and I'm gonna set him up and I'm gonna call the cops on him, and now the cops are gonna come arrest him and create a distraction, so then I can go around the other way to get in. Just crazy little things like that. And like, you know what I mean? No one's experience is going to be the same, because you can attack these scenarios in different ways. It's not like a set path that I have to do it this one way to get to my ultimate objective. There are probably five or six different things that you can do to get to that objective. And you know what? Like I said, if the story is kind of grating on your nerves and you're like, I don't want to do this next story mission, just go do something else. Do anything. It doesn't matter. And especially when all this DLC comes out and you're just going to, it's going to add more tools and, you know, into the sandbox. There's a lot of potential for long-term play of this game. Again, we talk all the time about how Grand Theft Auto 5 is still selling. And that game came out, what, 4 or 5 years ago at this point? Watch Dogs 2 has that potential that 3 years from now, we're still talking about crazy mods and just different things that you can do in the world, especially the fact that they're adding in the multiplayer. There's going to be things to do beyond just the main story. And that's just the one point that I really want to get across to people that are listening about this and contemplating picking it up. There's going to be long-term appeal to this game, I truly feel. And going back to playing it on the PlayStation 4 Pro, yeah, I'm playing it in 4K. It looks great. I mean, I know it's not ultra settings, right? It's your typical console type of settings as far as lighting and effects goes, right? But it is at 4K and it looks fantastic. I'm not having any frame rate issues or anything like that. It's locked at 30 frames per second and it's fun. I think that's the bottom line that I can put on Watch Dogs 2. It is a fun game to play. And if you're into open world and you're into the sandbox type of things and throwing the hacking on top of that as well, this could be the game for you. Am I going to suggest run out on launch day and spend your $60? No. And the reason I'm not going to do that is because of the unknown of the multiplayer. If that is an important aspect to you, please wait until we get more hands-on time and listen to the community as well, because there's going to be people that pick it up at launch day. See what people are saying about that multiplayer. Mm-hmm. See what people are saying about that co-op. And like I said, in a week or two, I'll have more impressions on that as well, and then you can make your decision on that. But my single-player impressions, having a lot of fun. Just be wary that the story's kind of eh.
Yeah, it seems like this is like my type of game. Not because of the story. I just want to like explore and just have fun, you know? So, I mean, it reminds me a lot of Saints Row. So I'm definitely might buy it. I'm thinking about it, Paris.
I'm glad you brought up Saints Row again, because it's not the over the top goofy humor that you'll get from Saints Row, but there's some goofy moments in it. And maybe I'm just too old now, you know, to appreciate it. I don't know. You make up your mind when you play through the story. But for me, the story was, I kind of wanted to just get past the story to get back to the missions to do cool stuff. Cause like I said, when you're in the missions and you're doing the things in the missions, freaking cool as hell. You know, like there's one mission, I won't spoil what it is, where I basically had to extract something out of a major landmark in San Francisco. And then the cops were on my tuckus all around the city, and I had to get away from the cops. Fun as hell. And I literally was using all my hacking tools that I had unlocked. I was taking over police cars and flipping them around. I was changing signal lights so people were crashing in each other. I was hacking various things that you can make explode, you know, to kind of get the cops off my tail. It was very fun. A lot of fun. So again, check out Watch Dogs 2 if you're into that open world sandbox stuff. I personally think you'll have a lot of fun with it.
One question, my last question. AI is difficult, challenging.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. There's different difficulty settings that you can set. I was initially playing at normal, because that's what I was playing at when I was at the preview events. I stepped it up to the next difficulty, the hard difficulty. A little challenging. definitely challenging because I would say the AI, just the guards and everything, they're a lot more aware. They're a lot more aggressive if you're spotted to look for you. They won't give up as easy, things like that. So, you know, if you're looking for a bigger challenge, yeah, definitely step it up from normal. I would suggest that.
Okay.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right. Thanks, Pat, for the review. And now it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Paris, we have two voicemails here that we're going to play. So the first one, this is a good one. This is about Scorpio. So let's play it right now.
Hey, Gamer Tag Radio. This is Robert down in North Carolina. Man, I think Microsoft got a really, really big issue coming on their hand with the Scorpio. Now that the PS4 Pro is out, I'm not seeing people really too excited about the changes. And being that it's not actually running at native 4K, once the Scorpio comes out, it will be running at native 4K for some games. I think people's expectations may be a little too high for the Scorpio coming in. I really believe that the Scorpio is going to run the regular Xbox One games, no detail difference, just at 4K at whatever resolution that they run it at now. So I really don't think that people's expectations is actually that. I think people's expectations for the Scorpio is to be this 4K, 60 frames per second, ultra settings and all of that. Because when you go online, all you hear is, oh, man, Scorpio is a beast and all of this. So I really think Microsoft got a problem on their hands, especially if they can't reach that $399 price point. So what do you guys think about that?
All right. So people are not excited about a PlayStation 4. And he thinks that Microsoft is going to be in a lot of trouble next year once the Scorpio comes out. First of all, thanks for the voicemail. Your thoughts, Paris? Because I think that eventually people are going to buy PlayStation 4 Pro. Right now, they're just waiting to see is it worth it or not. Like based on like the review, you said it's better for you to wait a little bit longer. If you don't have a 4K TV and you don't have a PlayStation 4, I think it's the right time to actually buy the system, you know. But at least there's a choice. You could go with this or you could go with the original or the Slim. Same thing with Microsoft. So I just don't see Microsoft being in trouble next year because of it. Do you see that? Because I don't.
Here's what I see. And then I want to thank Robert for sending that voicemail. You know, I already talked about my issues with the PlayStation 4 Pro, but and then like he alludes to with Scorpio, here's what Microsoft has to do. Again, and like he mentioned, that $399 price point. Let's just say, and I know you want to dream,
let me dream.
They can't get to $399. And you know, I've been saying for the longest $450. Let's just say it's $500 just for giggles, right? If it's $500, Scorpio has to do native 4K on all their big AAA games at 60 frames per second. They have to hit that. I'm not saying they have to hit ultra settings, so to speak, but they got to hit that frame rate. They have to do something to separate them from the PlayStation 4 Pro to show that at that price point, it is worth the investment over. Because let's be honest, let's just take reality here. Next holiday, PlayStation 4 Pro, especially at Black Friday, like we're seeing the Slim is going to be $250 on Black Friday, right, this year. The Pro next Black Friday is going to be $350, right? I think both of us can agree that's probably going to happen. So if it's $350, and again, I'm just saying, let's just say $450. Let's say the Scorpio is $450. Why am I spending the extra $100 if all the third-party games, whether they're, and I'm doing air quotes, native 4K or not, are 4K on the Pro at 30 frames per second, the same as they would be on the Scorpio, native 4K at 30 frames per second. Sony's going to market the hell out of that we're $100 cheaper and the games all look the same. We're all in HDR, we're all in 4K, they look the same. So Microsoft is going to have that trump card of, We are the most powerful console. Yes, we are $100 more, but our games are native 4K, 60 frames per second. You're going to get the ultimate gaming experience if you come, if you pick up the Xbox Scorpio, whatever it's going to be called, right? So they got to hit that. They can't just say we're native 4K. I don't think native 4K is enough because we're literally just going back to the start of this generation where it was 900p and 720p up-res to 1080p, and both sides were arguing, well, what's the difference? It shows at 1080p on your television. They need to hit that frame rate, in my opinion. Now, if they can hit 60 and get, look, if they can do Witcher 3 the way I see Witcher 3 on my PC on the Scorpio, then everybody throw your coin purse at Microsoft and go get one, because that is the ultimate fidelity for gaming. If you can hit 4K 60 frames per second at ultra settings on your games, then yeah, Scorpio is going to be the most powerful and ultimate console that we could possibly have on the market in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, when we sat down with Aaron Greenberg during was it E3, he's confident. They're all confident, man, that this is going to be the most powerful console out there, period.
Well, the idea for us was, how do we bring true 4K gaming to the console market? And in order to do that, and Paris knows, because the football, but Paris knows, and I don't mean this joke, you guys are going to love it. Yeah. I'm about to make a joke about Paris. So, no, but today on the PC side, if you invest in a super high-end rig or a really high-end PC, you can get 4K, true 4K gaming there, right? But it's, you know, thousands of dollars often. You can even get that high-fidelity VR experience. But you can't get that today in the console market. And in order to do that, we know that that requires 6 teraflops of GPU power. So for us, that's what we're committing to do with Project Scorpio. We're going to build a box. We're going to build a beast of a box that will be 6 teraflops of power that will be able to do true 4K games. We'll be able to do high-fidelity VR in the living room on a console. And think about that. With Xbox Play Anywhere, you'll be able to have that ecosystem across both your console and your PC. So we, you know, I'm excited about the vision, and I think it's great that we're able to tell fans that, hey, if you're looking to upgrade Xbox One, we've got a great box for you this holiday. If you're an existing owner and you want the smaller box, take advantage of all the 4K HDR, 4K video HDR, we've got that. But if you want the beast, you want the 6 teraflop monster coming next holiday, we have that coming too. And so it's just great to be able to share that, not with only with our fans, but also with developers that are going to go off and be thinking about, how do I make those great experiences come to life on the console next holiday?
And one thing too is that Microsoft has been testing this system in a way, because all these games that have been coming out, like Gears of War, Forza Horizon 3, and so on, this is already 4K.
Yeah, and
they have this.
Yeah.
So they're testing it out. They've been testing it out. The challenge is for us that don't have PC. Like, you know, you guys already been experiencing that, but me, I don't have a PC, so I'm curious, is this is going to be legit once it comes out next year? Is this is all talk, marketing talk? Because in the past, they have done mistakes. Microsoft, I'm talking about. They have done mistakes like saying, like, for example, Kinect. Remember that first video they showed when they announced the Kinect back in E3 years ago? I was like, man, this is like, it looks really, really cool, man. But honestly, it was a flop. If you actually think about it, it wasn't perfect, and it wasn't the way how it was like a pretty cool demo, but it wasn't 100% how they promoted it. So I'm curious how the Scorpio is going to be once it comes out. And the way they like I said, they have been testing all the games so far, but console-wise, price, and like you said, Paris, $350 for the Pro, which I think that's going to happen. I think this console is going to be $399. Like, I know we joke around, like, $350 and all that stuff just for giggles, whatever. But I think that this console is actually going to be $399 once it comes out, because they want this to be, you know, successful. Let's say the Slim is going to be even cheaper. And let's say this one is $399, and for sure, if it is, Microsoft is going to lose money, based on because of the price. by them having the Slim cheaper, it's gonna they're gonna get money out of it too. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, at least, yeah, they lose money, but at least they're gonna gain money out of it. Like, there's like a balance there. I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying. And just like going back to what you were saying at the top. Yeah, that's why I talk about Forza Horizon 3 and Gears of War 4, like the way that I can experience it right now on my PC. I play it at 4K, I play it at 60 frames per second, and I'm doing it on ultra to high settings on both games, right? That mm-hmm. will be the score. If Scorpio is doing that, I mean, not game over, but that's the advantage that they can have, because the pro simply cannot do that on AAA games. It can't. You know what I mean? So that's what they got to hit. And that's what I was saying last week. That's your preview for Scorpio. That has to be what they're targeting. Anything less, why are you even doing this? To be honest with you, you need to up the horsepower, because that is the next level of gaming to get to that. And like I said, you can do that on the PC currently, but you can't do that on console. What we're seeing like with the Pro is just 4K gaming light, so to speak. Microsoft has to go all in with 4K gaming, so they have to hit those check boxes, those specs for the frame rate and for just the visual fidelity of it with the various settings at ultra or high settings. So you bring up the price again at $399. We talk about this forever, so I'll keep it short and sweet. I personally don't see them doing that. I just don't. I think $450 makes more sense. But if they were able to get to $399, that would be absolutely huge. Huge for the company, for them to get back to where they want to be as far as being the leader in the console gaming market.
I think that if they do announce this as $399 at E3, this could be the PlayStation 4 moment for Microsoft. Yes,
it would be. It really would be.
It based on that, how they announce this, the price. And besides all that too, which is super, super important, I think, is the right games for launch during the time that the system comes out too. Because yeah, Gears of War is out there, you know, Forza's out there, and there's going to be other games that's going to be coming out early 2017. But the games that they need is the right ones, like for launch November or October of next year. That is super, super important. And I know Microsoft is going to go all out with the marketing and all that, you know? If this is like the way how they promoted it and announced it during E3, you know they're going to go all out next year. Okay, they could have just kept it quiet, not saying anything, and announced it next year. But announcing it a year before is because they are going to push this system big time next year. So we'll see. What are your thoughts? Let us know and so on. So we have another voicemail. Paris, this is a good one. And let's play right now.
How you doing, guys? This is DeAndre Montgomery, Atlanta, Georgia. I called y'all guys about a few months ago talking about my PC. I got my PC built. Everything's up and running. Playing 4K games. Yeah, I'm liking it. But I got a concern. I have an Xbox. I've been an Xbox fan for years. Always had the Xbox. So I decided to buy me a PlayStation 4 Pro. It just came out yesterday. I pre-ordered it, and I got it from Amazon. Got to my house, unboxed it. Everything seems to be powering all right. Everything seems to be coming on. The controller works, everything. But when I plug it into my 4K TV, I have a LG UH7700 4K. Which plays HDR and Dolby Digital Vision, and I plugged it up, and I get a black screen. So my experience with PlayStation out the gate is bad. I don't know if y'all guys are having any problems. Paris, let me know if you have any problems, because I can't seem to get this 4K content to pop up on my TV. So what I did was I looked on some websites on Google, some other people was having the same issues when they plugged their PlayStation 4 Pro up. They get a black screen, so they told me to boot up in safe mode and change the HDCP settings, turn it off, and then reboot the system, and it should come on. So I did that, and it did come on, and all in a nutshell, I only could play 1080p. So it's only the TV is only playing in 1080p. So what is the deal? What, is it on PlayStation side? Is it on the TV, the TV manufacturer side, or what? Because it was the people that was on the website had problems with LG, Sony, also Vizio. So, Terrence, I just want to know, since I know that you pre-ordered, let me know what you, how was your experience? Did you have any problems? And just let me know what you got, what y'all guys' feedback is on that, and if you can find out anything about the issues that I'm having, because this is it's a pain, man. And I paid a lot of money for this console.
All right, caller from all the way Atlanta, Georgia. First of all, thanks for the call. PlayStation 4 Pro issues. A lot of people are having these problems, Paris. I know you've been going back and forth with a couple of listeners, I believe, and you said that you haven't had any issues with it. What are your thoughts about this, man? Because there's a lot of angry gamers out there that have been posting like in forums and Twitter and so on. So,
well, I said earlier when I was just talking about my experience with the PlayStation 4 Pro, you know, I haven't had these issues. I haven't had a single issue with the Pro. It was literally a plug and play experience for me as far as getting into 4K and enabling HDR. And like he even said, you know, in the voicemail, as far as what the fix was, is like I said, he had to go into safe mode and then he had to disable the HDCP. I don't know how widespread this issue is, but I just know what people I've seen on social media and what people have emailed us and said to me directly. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, things do happen at launch. Trust me, I'm not making an excuse for Sony at all. If this is a widespread issue, they need to get it patched and resolved ASAP. Yep. Because like he said, he spent a lot of money on this thing. If I spent $400 and it don't work the way I expect it to, that is a problem. Now, he did mention he's on an LG TV, which is curious because I also have an LG TV that does 4K. I should actually plug it in and see if I have the same issue. But on my Vizio P, it was fine. No problems. But
could it be because of the brand too?
It could be.
Not the console?
Now, he mentioned that he saw people that had Vizios and Sonys were having the same problem too. So I don't know if it's brand specific or just particular the way the H. Because you got to understand, not to get too technical, you have different versions of HDMI that input. You have HDMI, you know, 1.4. There's HDMI 2.0. And I think there's HDMI 2.1 or 2.2 now. You know what I mean? You need baseline 2.0 to enable 4K, 60, all that, HDCP 2.2. So it may just depend on the particular model, despite the brand of the television. I'd have to research more. I honestly can't tell you off the top of my head. But since I have a couple other 4K TVs in the house, like I have an original Vizio P series out in my family room, I can plug it into that, see, but it doesn't do HDR. But I can see if I'm having any issues with the handshake to HDCP 2.2. I know my NVIDIA Shield out there doesn't have that issue. And then, like I said, I have the other LG TV up in my bedroom. I can plug it into that and see if that's an issue as well. But the one that I game on, nah, no issues. It's fine.
That is so strange, man. And you know what it sucks? Like, imagine, you know, you've been playing Xbox and you've been playing PC for a very long time. And you just, you know, got curious about getting the PlayStation 4 Pro. And you get it for the first time. This is like your first PlayStation 4 experience. And then this happens. That's a kind
yeah,
of like
that's
a very whack introduction.
Oh, yeah, for
you
sure.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And the same thing with Xbox. I imagine you never play Xbox and you buy the Slim for the first time and it just doesn't work. It's kind of like, this is like a pretty weak experience. Like, I just bought this for the first time and I'm getting this type of issue. You know, it will make me go to the store and return this.
No, well,
you
know hey, I spent $400 and it don't work the way I thought it was. I'm taking it right back. No, yeah. So I wouldn't blame him at all if he did that. Of course I would. It sounds like he might have resolved the issues. Please, you know, email us or send us another voicemail to let us know how your experience is now. But yeah, if this is a widespread thing, then yeah, Sony has to address this ASAP. Talk to the TV manufacturers. Make sure that encryption handshake is working the way that it should, because people are expecting a 4K display. If they're not getting that, then like I said at the top, why even have the Pro right now if you're not experiencing it in 4K HDR. And like I said, I know there's people, because people have been tweeting at me that have 1080p TVs and saying they're really enjoying some of the enhancements. That's all fine and well, but that's not necessarily what this console was targeted at. I'll just say that. And like I said, if you already got a PlayStation 4 and you got 1080p, why are you upgrading right now? I don't see it personally.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to, you know, the show there, and also our past episode. Make sure to share with your friends and so on. You could find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so before we also wrap it up, I just want to mention this very, very quick. If you have the new dashboard update just came out publicly now to every single Xbox One owner out there. Make sure to join our Xbox Live Club. Just search for Gamertag Radio. And the cool thing too, you could also, if you have your phone and you have the app of Xbox One, you could also join our club using your phone and all that stuff. So Paris, I know you don't have an Xbox, but join our club using your phone. Download the app and search for Gamertag Radio. One of these days, I'm going to have like a game night for like Titanfall 2. You know, all the new games now that already been out. And hopefully I could play with other community members worldwide. And also, if you have a PlayStation 4, PSN, you can search for our community page there. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Shout out to Phoenix for creating this. He's a huge supporter of GTR, man. So, Paris, anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, other than next week should be very interesting. I'll be very excited when we can talk about what we're going to be doing. But, parlez-vous français,
yeah? Yeah, right. Very exclusive, too, so that's good. All right, man, so hit us up. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.